So you can hear.
Rabbi Moshe Tarrant, sure.
Right next door,
yes, wall.
Correct.
Please, everyone, make sure you have star sheets.
Where are they?
In the entrance.
Melbourne, Australia. Yeah, yeah,
no.
I left my jacket in the other room.
No,
Miami Bluffs.
Melbourne, also.
I left my jacket.
Outside. The star sheets are outside, please. Jody, you know what? Just bring the chair and put it around the front of the room so they can see.
So he's sitting in. Thank you.
You got a seat?
Okay, 2:40 is our cutoff. 2:40, 10:40 will begin. So she's over there, please. Thank you. Okay, good jump to everyone, good jump to. Sorsheets, please, Sorsheets. Nisim, why don't you sit in the front and make sure people take Sorsheets when they come in? No, when you have to leave. Okay. Please, everyone, take Sorsheets. Welcome, everyone. Chag Sameach. Welcome to the Yeshiva's Haratzion Herzog All Night Learning. Thank you for joining us. The primary motif of Hoshana Rabbah is as the final stage of the Yom HaDin. The final chasima, the final moment for us to supplicate to the Ribbono Shel Olam for our decision. Source number one describes the Medrash, describes the various stages of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's decision-making process. Line number six, V'chol Yisrael gedolim b'ktalim notlin lulavim b'minam. The lulav is a sign of victory, of triumph, of confidence. What could follow that brazen sign of success? Demonstration. Demonstrating our victory. What happens on Hoshana Rabbah? That which is latent and private becomes public. Circle Mizbeach once every day, Hoshana Rabbah 7 days. The Aravos are small, on Hoshana Rabbah they augment. It's a parade of triumph. Makipin Sheva HaKafos, 6 lines from the bottom, source one. V'chazan HaKnesses Omei Kimalach Elokim, the matter says. V'chazan wears a kittel like a malach. Ramim An Hashem Hashiana, An Hashem Atzlichana. Line number two from the bottom. Umiyad Malachai Asharis Semechim V'omrim Nitzchu Yisrael Nitzchu. So it's not just a private sign of victory, the public demonstration, which even celestial beings, even angels, take note of. Nitzchu Yisrael Nitzchu. So it's the final moment of our judgment, and it's a moment of confidence and of displaying our triumph. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated this day to Avraham Avinu. Source number two, it's a Medrash quoted in the classical Midrashim, Lama Nikra Shema Hoshana Rabbah, a question which will remain unanswered in this Medrash. Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu li Avraham, Ani Yachid v'ata Yachid. I am exclusive and you are exclusive. If anything, you've rendered me exclusive by spreading the gospel of monotheism. You've made me a Yachid Ba'olami. And you're the only person that's noticed and the only person that's embraced my presence. Atein lebonacha yom miyuchat. I'll deliver a special day to your children. L'chaper bo avonaseim. Zeo Hoshana Rabbah. Now the Medrash doesn't answer the name Hoshana Rabbah, it just describes the function. HaKadosh Baruch Hu preordained the day to Avram in a way that's very different from Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day that responds to human failure. It's a response to the Egel. On the 10th of Tishrei, Moshe Rabbeinu descends from the mountain, bearing news that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had indeed forgiven and absolved our sins. This is prichet. This has nothing to do with Am Yisrael's failure. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu earmarking a special day, Hoshana Rabbah, as a day of cosmic absolution. Not just responding to particular human failure, but this is a day where I love the Jewish people so much, though I will absolve and I will erase their sins. So in our imagination, Hoshana Rabbah is a day of absolution, judgment, confidence, display, demonstration. But there's a second theme to the day, and it's a theme which was captured very poetically by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, our great lyricist, our great Paitan. But before we study his piyuk, where does it stem from? It stems from a Mishnah in Sukkah, and it's a phrase that's very odd, very peculiar, and you recite it every day, twice. The Mishnah reports, source number five. B'chol yom makipin es hamizbeach pamachas. V'armim an Hashem Hoshiana, an Hashem Atzlichana. Pretty familiar, asking Hashem, supplicating for redemption, for success. An Hashem Hoshiana, an Hashem Atzlichana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Instead of reciting the more classical Ana Hashem Hoshiana, what do they recite each and every day, not just on Hoshana Rabbah? Ani Vaho Hoshiana. And we conclude our Hoshanos with the Ani Vaho, and then we launch into Rav Elazar HaKalir's Piyut, and then we recite once again Ani Vaho Hoshiana. Who's the Vaho? Ani Vaho. So Rashi offers two interpretations. His first interpretation is, source number 6, Ani Vaho Begamatria An Hashem. Ani Vaho is the equivalent of saying An Hashem Hoshiana. It's a little veiled, it's a little bit cryptic. According to Yehuda, it's veiled. According to the Chachamim, it's explicit, but it's the same effect. An Hashem Hoshiana. Ani Vaho is the gematria of An Hashem. But then Rashi cites a different opinion. The Ode, Mishivim Mishtayim Shem Hosein. Ani Vaho, that conjugation, which is very weird, very unusual, is one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's 72 names. What does it mean? And why is it chosen? One surface. Thank you, Nisim. So Tosfos fills in the blanks. Tosfos says, source number 7, he quotes a Medrash. There are two psukim that describe Am Yisrael's exile. One is in Yirmiyah, source number 8, Hadavar Azeh Sheharyal Yirmiyah Beis Hashem. Yirmiyah has been chained, Yirmiyah has been enslaved. Vahu, source number 8, second line, Asur Bazikim. Yirmiyah is now handcuffed in metal chains as a sign of the Jewish defeat. Then there's the pasuk, source number 9, in which Yechezkel stands by the river Kvar in Babylon, and he sees celestial prophecies. And he announces those prophecies, Vani, B'soch HaGolah. Hear those two words? Hu, Asur Bazikim. Yirmiyah is in chains. Yechezkel is standing in Galus. Vani, B'soch HaGolah. According to the Medrash, Ani Vaho is taken from these two psukim. The word Ani is taken from the pasuk in Yechezkel, Ani B'soch HaGolah. The word Vaho is taken from the word Vahu Asur Bazikim. Two different verses describing life in Galus. One clearly describing a man, Vani B'soch HaGolah, Yechezkel. The Vaho, although in the pasuk in Yirmiyah it describes the prophet, it doesn't refer to the prophet who's in chains. Source number 7. Tosfos says, "Vani b'soch hagola." Line number 3. "Dechsev b'yirmiyah v'hu asur bazikim kivayachol hu bi'atzma." The pasuk in Yirmiyah doesn't refer to Yirmiyah being handcuffed; it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being handcuffed. V'hu asur bazikim v'hayna hoshana. And every day when we stop looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoshana, we ask him not just for our own salvation, but we ask him to rescue the Shekhinah from these handcuffs referred to in the pasuk in Yirmiyah. So when we recite Vani, Vaho, Hoshiana, we are requesting HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just to deliver us, but to deliver the Shekhinah. Ani b'soch HaGolah, Vahu, not Yirmiyah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asur Bazikim. This is a theme which is already latent in the introduction to Hoshanas. Hoshana, Lemancha Elokeinu Hoshana. Hoshana lemancha bareinu hoshana. Hoshana lemancha. Our request for your intervention, for your redemption, is not for our needs, but for your needs. Lemancha Elokeinu. Ani vaho hoshiana. Just as we suffer in Galus, just as we suffer in exile, just as we suffer persecution, the Shekhinah recedes as well. And during the Hoshanos, and the crescendo of the Hoshanos is Hoshana Rabbah, we daven not just for ourselves, but for our twin. And we'll see where that word twin comes from a bit later, for our Kadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah, which is, as that pasuk in Yirmiyah describes, Asur Bazikim, handcuffed in chains. Chazal's most direct reference to this concept, aside from this Medrash that Tosfos quotes, but it doesn't appear in the Babli, appears in a Gemara in Megillah. Source number, the back of the first page. Source 13. We'll return to some of the earlier sources. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shivuscha. Hashem will retrieve your exiles. Source number 13. That's a very odd grammar. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shivuscha. It should really read, V'heshiv Hashem Elokech HaShivotcha. Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Bo Ure, Source 14. Kama Chaviven Yisrael V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shekol Makom Shegala. Wherever they're exiled. Shechina Imahem. The Shechina follows. Galo L'Mitzrayim. They descend to Egypt. Shechina Imahem. Galo L'Babel. We'll read this Gemara more carefully in a few minutes. This is Chazal's most direct reference to the concept of Shechinta B'Galusa. When the Jewish people depart Israel, when the Jewish people are depressed, the Shechina suffers, and it's not our redemption, Lemancha Elokeinu, Lemancha Boreinu. Ani Vaho Hoshiana. The word Vaho is missing the Aleph. Possibly to allude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's imperfect state in this world prior to redemption. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. His presence and capabilities span the universe. But in this world, his presence is hitched to a redemptive narrative, to a national trajectory. And we are his representatives. And as we receive, his presence is obscured. So the name Baho is clipped of its final aleph, just like in the end of Mishalach, Kiyad Al-Kais, Ka, what letter is missing in Mishalach? The aleph. Yad Al-Kais, Ka, it's not a kisei until HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is universally adopted to the Jewish experience. So the aleph is missing from the end of Mishalach after the initial volley with Amalek, and that same aleph is missing from the word Vahu. The Yishalmi, source number 10, does quote the Aleph. According to the Yishalmi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ani Vahu Hoshiana, Ani Vahu Hoshiana. But the Girsa in the Babli is Ani Vahu. And that's the Girsa we adopt every day at the end of our Hoshanos, before Belezer HaKalir's famous piyut, which we'll read carefully, and then once again sandwiched with Ani Vahu Hoshiana. That becomes the lesser known theme of Hoshana Rabbah, as the climax of a 7-day process of Hoshanas, to pray not for our redemption, but Lemancha. When Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah are about to be flung into the furnace, which parak in Tehillim do you think they recite? Lo lanu Hashem lo lanu, ki im l'shim chatein kavod. Al chas techa l'mitecha. Don't redeem us for ourselves, for there are greater issues at stake right now. The stakes are higher, because now we're on display, and we'll discuss this in a few moments, and people assume you've discarded us. People assume that you can be defeated. At this stage, we have to be rescued, not for our sake. Lalanu Hashem Lalanu, Yim Lashim Chatein Kavo. Ani Vaho Hoshiana. Based on this Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda's statement, Ani Vaho, as explained by Tosfos, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, the great medieval Paitan, articulated his famous piyut called Kehoshata Elim Beludimach, which is dominated by this theme. Primarily in the prism of our exodus from Mitzrayim, but at other important junctures in history as well. So, for example, probably the most direct reference to Mitzrayim, source number 11, part Aleph, line 3, Kehoshata Ma'amar V'Hotzesi Eschem. Hashem says, I will discharge you from Egypt. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, not quoting a Medrash, but being a grammatist, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir says, Nakuf, you could punctuate the word V'Hotzesi Eschem if you play around with the vowels. It could read not v'hotzeisi eschem, but v'hutzeiti itchem. I have been redeemed along with you. Hutzeiti means I have been liberated itchem. Kehoshata elim beludimach. When you redeemed the strong people, elim are strong people, from the town of Luz. Luz was one of the children of Canaan, so it's a reference to Mitzrayim. Kehoshata elim beludimach. You are with us, imach. You didn't just redeem the elim, the strong people, you also redeemed yourself. Kehoshata goy velohim. Aleph, line 2. You redeemed the people and their God. Derushim le'esh Elohim. Both. The people and their God require an HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention. Derushim le'esh Elohim. Sir Elazar HaKalir is describing the first implementation of this phenomenon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us in Galus. And our redemption is his redemption. And this, of course, was already prophesied to Yaakov before he descended to Mitzrayim. Yaakov is very trepid. Yaakov is fearful and Parshas Vayigash. He sojourns in Be'er Sheva, and Hashem guarantees him, source number 12, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim, I will descend with you into Egypt. Ve'anochi E'elcha Gam Alecha. But I will ascend with you. And notice the double language, E'elcha Gam Alecha, perhaps a coded reference to the first descent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us, as well as a telegraphing of a later ascent in history when we return from the final dose. Anochi Eltech Gamala. This is a very powerful concept. We assume that sin and human failure distances the person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire drama of tshuva. Tshuva is not repair. Tshuva is not improvement. Tshuva is not rehabilitation. Tshuva is a return to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's presence doesn't admit evil or corruption. Our sins create a discrepancy or an offset between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our lives. And tshuva is tshuva elai. Yeshuva elechem. That's on a personal level. Am Yisrael can never be clear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wherever we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows us. Imo Anochi Betzara. And when we descend to Mitzrayim, Hashem has to not just redeem us, but redeem his fallen and exiled Shechina. Rabbi Lazar HaKalir also refers to the scene at the Yamsuf. Kiyoshata, source number of days. Kiyoshata Kana, Mishoreras Vayosha. You redeemed the nest. Kana, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nest, because we brace his Shechina in this world in a way that a nest bears the presence of the birds. Kiyoshata Kana, Mishoreras Vayosha. Your nest was praising you with the word Vayosha Hashem Vayomahu. Look at the grammar shift. This is actually a medrash. Legocha, that's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Gochi mi beten, the person that drew me from my mother's womb. Kiata Gochi mi beten. My parents are here about Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Gochi mi beten. Legocha, mitzuyenes, it could be rearticulated not as Vayosha, but Vayivasha. Hashem didn't redeem us. Vayosha Hashem Vayomahu as Yisrael mi'ad Mitzrayim. Vayivasha Hashem Vayomahu as Yisrael mi'ad Mitzrayim. By redeeming the Jewish people, Hashem redeemed himself from Golos. Why is the Yom Suf mentioned? Possibly because this process, which was implicit in Yitzias Mitzrayim but invisible, became very visual at the Yom Suf. In Mitzrayim, we had the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was escorting us and he was being redeemed, but our eyes couldn't corroborate, our eyes couldn't confirm it. What happened at the Yom Suf? What presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu signified that he descended into the Yom Suf with them? Take a look at source number 17, the conclusion of the Medrash. Yardu Liyam, three lines from the bottom. Shechina Yimayim. In the Yom Suf, the Shechina descends with them. Shenemar, Vayisa, Malach, Elokim. The angels in B'Shalach are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's proxies. The angels, the fire, the Amud Hanan, the angels separating the two Machanot. So the descent of the angels into the Yom Suf, along with the Jewish people, were visual punctuators, were visual reference points that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was descending into the Yom Suf along with the Jewish people. So an idea that had been established at the Exodus 7 days earlier now became visual at the Yom Suf. Yarda Liyam Shechina Imayim. Source number Gimel, part Gimel 11. Rabbi Lazar HaKalir also mentions Golos Babel. Kehoshata Kihilos Babel Shilachta. You sent your people to Babel. Rachum Lema'anam, again Shilachta. You're the Rachum, you were sent there for their benefit. So you didn't just send them, you were discharged as well. What is this at? I alluded to it earlier. The average bystander assumed that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were no longer the chosen people. We've become accustomed to life without a Mikdash, and we found other manners to reaffirm our chosenness and our being selected. But for the people living through the period of the Beis HaMikdash, that was the physical reference point. That was the icon. Without Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael, who made that assumption? Who allowed to that assumption? That was the great gambit of Haman. Haman was a very, very astute student of history. Why did he think he could succeed where Pharaoh had failed, where the 30 empires of Canaan had failed, where Balaam had failed? He agreed that the Jewish people were selected. But now they've been exiled, and their Mikdash has been burnt, and their land has been razed, and they're no longer chosen. At this point, the chosen people have become Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar, Umefarad, Bein Amim. Now they're just an average people, and they can be conquered, and they can be overcome. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends with us into Babel, this is a very strategic point in history. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, Daniel, Ezra, Mordechai, and Esther, these are the heroes who at some stage during that 7-year period rebuild within the Jewish imagination that our selection hasn't been canceled. When Rav Shmuel, excuse me, the great Amora Shmuel used to teach Megillas Esther. Because Megillas Esther is a very, very obscure work. And you have to tease out the meaning. So it's the only sefer to be read twice, hermeneutically. Because you read it once, and you read it a second time to better appreciate it. You're allowed to read every sefer twice, but we're mandated to read Megillas Esther twice. So that the second time we read it, we can then connect the dots. Oh, that's why Bigtan and Tarash, and that's why Avashti, and now we can connect dots that we didn't see through our first read. So when Shmuel would read Megillas Esther and teach his students, Shmuel would begin with the following pasuk from Parshas Bechukosa. Gaf gamzel spiyosen eretz avihem, lo mastim, lo galtin l'chalosam, l'hafer b'siyitam. No matter where they are, the bris is still excellent. Said otherwise, Haman was the first Christian. Not theologically, because he was Zoroastrian, but historically, he was the first to lodge the Christian claim that the Jewish people betrayed their selection, and they have been discarded as the infidel, paving the way for a new treaty and a new covenant. So the fact that the Shechina descends with us into Babel is quite different than the Shechina accompanying us out of Mitzrayim, descending into the Yom Suf. It represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's maintaining the terms of that covenant and that twain between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people. And then the Piyut ends with, the Ezra HaKalir mentions, the ultimate Geula, Ki Oshata, Shavos, Shetei Yaakov, when you return, the dispersed people of the tribes of Jacob, Tashuv, you yourself will come back. Bitashir. Shavos Allah Yaakov, Ki Oshiyana. And then we conclude, Ani Vaho, Oshiyana. This is the quiet theme of Hoshanas reaching its climax in Hoshana. Ani Vaho, Oshiyana. We're not asking for our redemption, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're asking for your redemption. So we have two questions we have to deal with tonight. Number one, why? Why does the Shechina descend with us into Mitzrayim? What does Hashem accomplish by accompanying us into exile? Anochi eredim cha Mitzrayim. Rachum lamanam shilachti. Kashuv al Yaakov. Number two, why is this the theme of Hoshana Rabbah as the conclusion of the Sukkot Hall? Why do we celebrate on Pesach? Why not on Shavuos? Why is this twinning between the Shechina and Am Yisrael such a salient aspect on the Shana Rabbah? So why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu descend with us in Degalus? What's the function? Why does he accompany us? So the Midrash suggests something very practical or pragmatic. Source number 16. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kol Kach Lama. Why do I descend into Mitzrayim? Why do I descend into Babel? Why do I waste my time in these far-flung places outside of Eretz Yisrael? Amar Lahem, Shem responds. Source 16, line 2. Kol Hayamim Shani Imahem. As long as I accompany the Jewish people, Ein Notlim Sham Ra. They're protected. I maintain a relationship, and they're protected. B'mitzrayim ha'yisimayim, line number 2, v'nimsei shlema. And they protected themselves sexually, maritally, shenemar, gam na'ol achati kala, a reference to the tznius laws which were abided by the Jewish women even under trying conditions, gam na'ol in locked garden. This suggests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends just to facilitate continued religious experience, either in a preventative measure to prevent us from slip-sliding into foreign cultures and foreign practices, or to facilitate experiences that require his presence. It appears that Abai understood it this way. Source number 14, remember the drasha, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shivuscha, that Hashem descends with us into every exile. When Abaya heard this, he said, source number 14, second to last line, Bebabel Hecha, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Babel? Bebabel Hecha. And Abaya answered, Amar Abaya, Bebeknishta de Hutzal, visit the shul in Hutzal. If you don't sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in Hutzal, visit a more stirring shul. Beknishta de Shaf, Beyasiv, Benahada. Go visit the Beis HaKnesses that moved to Narda. Which Beis HaKnesses moved to Narda, and where did it move from? Anyone know? They took stones from the Beis HaMikdash during the first wave of exile, and they relocated it to Narda, and they built the shul. The first exile occurred about 18 years before the final exile, the exile of Yehoyachin, at which point Mordechai's exile, Asher Haglam, Yerushalayim, Yimimagola, Sheref Lassalim, Yechaniya, Melech Yudah, Asher Haglam, Nebuchadnezzar. 18 years later, more or less, Sidkiah, the reigning king, is exiled. So the Jews had a sense, both of the ability to relocate Hashem's presence to a shul in Har Gah. Who was the Rosh Hashiva in Har Gah, ultimately? Afterwards, who was the first Rosh Hashiva in Har Gah? Rav comes, Shmuel's in Surah, so, Shmuel's in Har Gah, so Rav goes to Surah. So Shmuel was in Rosh Hashiva. Ultimately, that body becomes Rosh Hashiva. And they may have had a sense that the first exile was a warning sign, so they could prepare this move. They could prepare this transition to Galus and take stones, because the second destruction and the second wave during Sidkiah's time was such an onslaught, such panic, such terror, they may not have had the presence of mind to move the stones. So at an earlier stage, which seemed to be more orderly, they were exiled and the stones were removed. So when Abaye heard this medrash, heard this concept, in his mind, it was to facilitate prayer, Tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is still there, pragmatically, logistically, to protect us against foreign influences, and to enable certain mitzvahs that require Hashem's presence. Well, when Rav Shimon bar Yochai heard this, it meant something entirely different. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu descend to Galus with us? Source number 14, Rav Shimon bar Yochai is the author of this statement. Tanya, Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Bo'orei, Kama Chavivin Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not a question of Hashem's presence being necessary to protect us in order to establish shuls. Hashem loves the Jewish people. Where they are, He is. Where you go, I go. When you're in love, presence and location doesn't make a difference. Presence is about the object of your love. That becomes your place. That becomes your location. It's a logistic to protect the Jewish women in the Messiah. Kama chavivin Yisrael, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechal Makom Shegalu, Shechina Imahim. Another statement of Shimon bar Yochai. Speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing, what was the first moment of mass revelation? Trick question. First moment of mass revelation. As Jews, we celebrate Har Sinai as the one-off moment of mass revelation. But there was actually a moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to a group of people. Hashem appeared to Avraham in Vayera. Vayera Lav Hashem Ramoni Mamre. So when does Hashem first appear to a group of people? You say it every year in the Haggadah. How do Chazal interpret Mara Gadol? Zu Giloy Shina. Mara Gadol is Giloy Shina. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Bo'rei. Source number 15. Gedol HaChibasim Shel Yisrael. Shenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'makom Avodas Kochavim U'B'makom Tinofes U'B'makom Turma Kedei Legolam. The first mass revelation took place in a sewer, in a graveyard. Kiyin Ba'yas Asherin Shamneis. It was laced with shrines to Avodah Zarah, full of Gidolei Mitzrayim. The last place you'd expect to host the first mass revelation is Shina. But that's the point. Kidola Chibaslin Shel Yisrael. Shenigla Aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'makom Avodas Kochavim U'B'makom Tinofes Kidei Legala. Very famous medrash that talks about the Kohen watching his truma roll into the Beis HaKvaros, the Gemara Bava Metzia Chabad. Halacha question of Rav Mitzvah, but in the medrash, it's the Kohen being placed into a moral dilemma. Should I go into the Beis HaKadosh? I'm a Kohen. It's my Truma. Shmuel Yisrael Shenikra Rishis. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Truma. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing. It's a very, very powerful concept to be metamei himself. To absorb Truma as that Kohen in that parable in order to follow the Jewish people. Gedol HaChibasa. Yes?
When Moshe went to get the Nefuah, he had a beef.
That wasn't Gilas Shin. That wasn't Gilas Shin. It's Gilas from Moshe, and Gilas Yachid doesn't justify Hashem's descent to Makom Tum. When it's Yisrael, Gedol HaChibasim Shel Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends in order to present himself to the Jewish people. Yes.
Why does Shina
design
Yisrael
in Galus?
How come
they're
not located?
I'm not sure. I think the shim is necessary for the preposition.
Well, that's part of the Masoch. We say does it
give it to you or not? Okay. But the answer is
yes.
Yivor is certainly feasible in Chutz La'aretz, and that's why the description of Yechezkel, Ani Yivahov, Ani Basav Hagolah, he receives his Yivor. So once the Yivor ends in Eretz Yisrael, it will of course end in Chutz La'aretz as well. So as long as the Yivor is still active, it can extend Chutz La'aretz about the Jewish people. Once the Yivor closes, then even though the Shechinah is in Galus, we don't have access to the Yivor. So the second reason the Kodesh Baruch Hu descended into Galus is not logistically to facilitate prayer, but to protect us against foreign influence. The Kodesh Baruch Hu descends into Galus to do this. Chaviv in Yisrael. Gidol HaKibasa. And then there's the third reason that the Kodesh Baruch Hu descends into Galus. And Galus, of course, is not just geographic for Kodesh Baruch Hu's Shechinah. But Galus is also a metaphor. This is, of course, a shiur that takes place every year, and every year I try to mention one of the founding Rosh Yeshivos in Toronto. We insert some of their Torah, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Rav Amital. One of the staggering revolutions that Rav Amital introduced me to was a redefinition of the concept of Chilul Hashem. I grew up in Brooklyn, in a very small space, and for me the definition of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem was shrunk into the question of how I acted at the baseball game. If I acted orderly, that was a Kiddush Hashem. If I acted disorderly, that was a Chilul Hashem. And it's true. But Rav Amital lessened us that Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem takes place on a national and historical stage. Because we are Kodesh Baruch Hu's people. And we represent Him in this world. And as we rise, His fate is augmented. If we suffer, His presence is obscured. Because we're the people who bear His authority and His presence in this world. We are His proxies. And Baruch Hashem, this is a concept which resonates to everyone in this room because we know that to be the state of Israel. We finally have a historical reference point to represent our people, not just as assorted archipelagos of Judaism scattered across seas of Gentile oceans, but we have an organic, collective, coalescent organ to represent us. And Baruch Hashem, as we feel that our country is excelling in so many areas, in so many sectors, that's a Kiddush Hashem. We're a superpower militarily. Just came from my son's swearing-in ceremony. It's beautiful. Singing Atikva militarily, economically, culturally, democratically, politically. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Hashem descends into the Galus not just to be there for us and with us, because as we are persecuted and we are exiled, His Shechinah contracts. His presence in this world starts to shrink. And when we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu to redeem us, Lamancha, we're asking the Kodesh Baruch Hu to restore Your presence. V'yeda kol pol ki atah v'yalta. V'yavin kol yitzor ki atah yitzarta. And so we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for our future Gula. And so Yechezkel mentions his gloss on why we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. Rav Amital loved this parak in Yechezkel, source number 19. Hayomahu, nasasi yadim lahem, motzia meretz Mitzrayim. Hashem, it's a different version of Yitzias Mitzrayim than Shmos provides. Shmos' version has the Jewish people completely passive, no expectations, and the redemption completely unilateral. In Yechezkel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu solicits human initiative. Hayomahu, nasasi yadim lahem, motzia meretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Avaz Chalav Ravash. Ramar Lahem, Ishi Kutzein Ehem Ishlichu. Uvigulei Mitzrayim, Al Titamo. Please, discard your pagan influences. Take one step back. Withdraw from all this idolatry. What are the Jewish people's response? Vayam Ruvi, they rebel, they're intransigent. Lo Avu L'Shmo Eilai. They don't want to listen. Ishi Kutzein Av, Lo Ishlichu. Snulei Mitzrayim. Lo Azavu, inflexible, unheeding. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original thought? Three lines in the bottom, source 19. Vomar, l'shpoch hamasi alehem. Sound familiar? Shpoch hamasi alehem, where does that come from? Well, it comes from Yechezkel, but the night of the Haggadah, we invert a statement which was originally employed as a threat to the Jewish people. I'm going to pour my anger on you, on them. We try to reverse it. We try to redirect it. Shpoch hamasi alehem, shalaydo, chas Hashem, as far as he's concerned, has had it with the Jewish people. No reason to redeem them. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ascend? Why does he concede? Line 2 from the bottom, source 19. Vas leman shmi, for my name. Levilti achel leinei goyim ashema besocham. 400 years had been invested in the spread of Hashem's monotheistic presence. Avim starts a revolution. Revolution gains traction. People start to see these ideas taking root in the human imagination. It spreads to the Mediterranean basin. One culture remains defiant, Egypt. At that point, to eliminate the Jewish people, though they deserved it, would have been tantamount to Chil Hashem, which is intolerable. So Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim, Laman Shmi. Not for your sake, because the alternative, the receding of Hashem's presence through the elimination of the Jewish people, was simply something which couldn't be countenanced. Laman Shmi. Rav Amital would always quote this parak as a reference to Medinas Yisrael. Wondering whether we did or didn't deserve to be redeemed in 1948, based on our own merit, but in the shadow of the Holocaust, and the single greatest Chil Hashem since the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, a Chil Hashem of that magnitude required some response, required some restoration of Hashem's presence. Rav Amital refused to hold up the Holocaust in the state of Israel on a one-to-one parity, but he still thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to intercede whether we deserved it or not in 1948, based on the template of Yechezkel Parachah. Vaz Laman Shmi, Levilti Yechel Eneo Go Nesher Nefesochem. As we recite every day in davening, Niranana Bishu Asecha, V'Shem Elokeinu Nidgol. I'm not asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for my Yeshua. I'm asking you for your Yeshua. Niranana Bishu Asecha. And think about people reciting that pasuk for thousands of years, not being able to complete the pasuk. Today, thank God, we can complete the pasuk. We can raise a flag. The first time in our history, we can actually raise a flag and complete that pasuk. Now, there's a reference point. The Degalim of Bamidbar have returned. Those flags that are so iconic in Bamidbar now have returned, and we can complete that pasuk. V'Shem Elokeinu Nidgol. So Hashem descends into Galus, not just because he misses us, and not just because he wants to protect us. Hashem descends because he suffers with us. As we suffer and as we decline, his presence recedes. And that's the topic of tonight's shiur, or at least the title of tonight's shiur, the twinning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people. We're twins. How do I know we're twins? Because Chazal tells us. Pischi liachosi, rayasi, yonasi, tamasi. Open the door, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. My sister, my bride, my dove, open the door. Chazal tell us, don't read tamasi as my innocent one, or only as my innocent one. Source 23. Rav Yanai Amar, te'omasi, you're not my tamasi, you are my te'omasi, you are my twin. You're not greater than I am. I'm not greater than you are. Rabbi Yeshua Desichlin B'Shem Rabbi Levi. Te'omasi. Not just that they're identical. Mahatalim Halalo Im Choshesh Mehem Barosho. Twins have this sixth sense. If one twin is hurt, the other twin senses it. Kach Kivayachal. Source 23, third line. Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu. Imo Anochi. Mitzar. So there are three reasons Hashem descends to Galus with us. One is Shelo Yutra Mimra, to protect us through an able tefillah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai thought, just because he loves us, forget any cosmic change, he just wants to be with us. But Rabbi Levi reminded us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our ta'om, is our twin. Achasi Yonasi Tamasi, Achikri Tamasi, Ela Ta'omasi. When the Sajigon would daven on Hashanah Rabbah, source number 22, he would insert the following statement for the Shliach Tzibur. I'm a Shliach Tzibur, 22, second line from the bottom. Hashia v'rachem aleinu Hashem Elokeinu l'man shimcha gadol ha'gibor v'hanara chisgadel v'iskadesh b'olam. We're davening for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for ourselves. So, Rav Elazar HaKalir sensed this medrash latent in that very strange conjugation of Rabbi Yehuda, Ani Vaho Hoshiana. He articulated it by traveling through the various stages of Jewish exile and reminding us that when we left Lud, not Lud, but Lud, not our Lud, but Lud being Mitzrayim, when we left Lud, Kotseisa Mi Lud, Hashem was with us. We should change the grammar from Vahotseisi Yeschem to Vahotseiti Yitchem. When we descended into the Yamsuf, Hashem was there. When we left to Babel, Hashem was present. When we returned from Ashur and Mitzrayim, Veshav Hashem Elokecha Shivosa. Hashem will return, not just retreat. Veshav Hashem Elokecha Shivosa. But why am I Shana Rabba? Why is this the time of year that we're so overt about that twinning, about the fact that we're Hashem's Tamasi, about Hashem's presence in Golos, that we daven on behalf of? So there are three reasons. Number one, because it's at the end of 51 days of proximity and intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashanah Rabbah is the last day of the 51. There's an old Hasidic, you're all invited if you have the strength to come to the next part of tonight's celebration, Torah, having a tish with Shlomo Katz about the interface between Hasidus and Zionism. I hope to join. In Hasidus, Hoshana Rabbah can be severed into two different words. Hoshana. Hosha, save us, na, for 51 days. This is the 51st day after it all began, Rosh Chodesh Elul, where we first heard the shofar. 51 days later, Hoshana. And in particular, both mitzvos of Sukkos remind us of our bathing or basking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. The Sukkah, as I spoke about 2 years ago, although it's meant to reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protective presence, in the Zohar it's referred to as Tzila Dimanusa, the shade and the covering of Emunah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who can be trusted, Dimanusa. Those of you who know that although we think of a sukkah as possessing four walls, the most minimum sukkah is shtayim kihilchason, ishlishas afilu tepach, two complete walls and one little nub, one little projection. Just have to sit in that enclosure. That Ri HaKadosh used to say, why is the sukkah articulated? Ashtayim kihilchason, vishlishas afilu tepach, what body part does that remind you of? Where there are two limbs attached and one little small limb attached to the end of the two large limbs. Shtayim kihilchason, v'shlishas afilu tefach. The sukkah is smolo tachas roshi, v'yimino tichapteni. Hashem is embracing us with His hand. Sukkah is meant to represent the hand. Shtayim kihilchason, v'shlishas afilu tefach. Smolo tachas roshi, v'yimino tichapteni. It's not just the sukkah, it's also the dalaminim. I mentioned Rav Shimon Bar Yochai before. Who is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's famous Rebbe? Rabbi Akiva. We're all familiar with the associated imageries of the dalaminim, the avos, the imos, different body parts. Rabbi Akiva said, and this is an audacious statement, that the dalaminim don't just symbolize body parts, don't just symbolize past avos and imos based on their traits. Source 24. Pre-Tadar, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose beauty and precision can be sensed in our world. Hod V'Hadar Levushta. Kapos Tamarim, the bound Lulav, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ksiv Beit Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach. Anal Beit Tzavos, you guessed it, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on a pasuk in Zechariah in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's image, or at least the Malach, is separated from by hedges of Hadassim, which is a way to symbolize that some of Hashem's prophecies can't yet come true, can't yet actualize in our world, which is still fallen, so there's a hedge or thicket of Hadassim preventing Hashem's prophecies from being implemented. And finally, the Arvei Nachal, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just the leaves by the river, but Solu L'Rochei V'Ravos. Hashem rides on the skies, rides on the clouds, Rochei V'Ravos. Is there any other mitzvah in the Torah that symbolizes Hashem? Any other object we take that's meant to evoke imageries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's almost impossible to imagine that any physical item that a human being takes in their hand can symbolize the infinite Kutcher Brichu. But on Sukkos, after the 51 days of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sitting in his sukkah, listen to Rabbi Akiva's interpretation, Lekachtem Lachem. You take HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your hand and you see him through fruits, trees, plants, and leaves. The lekachtem lachem bayom harishon, pre-etzadar, kapos tamar. So the intimacy that has been growing and building over these last 51 days surges during the Hoshanah, which climax in Hoshanah Rabbah. Ani v'ha Hoshiyana. Number two, not just the overall experience of the 51 days, but the experience which is proximate to Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva lived in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he was trying to revive the fallen spirits of Jews who were facing Yom Kippur without anything that they've been accustomed to in Yom Kippur. They had no Kohen Gadol, no Ktaras, no Aron, no Tzayar. Sounds like our Musa. But they were living through that trauma. So what did Rabbi Akiva say? I'm Rabbi Akiva. Source number 26. Ashrechim Yisrael. L'tnei mi'atem mitarim. U'mi mitar eschem. Avinu Shabbat Shamayim. It's not about ceremony, ritual, goats, spice, coals. Say me'atem mitarim. Mi mitar eschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mikveh Yisrael. Quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. The word mikveh, of course, doesn't mean mikveh. It means your hope. But he retranslates the word mikveh from your hope to a mikveh. An astounding statement. You would think that our interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the outcome of tshuva. To get to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to perform tshuva, cleanse ourselves, purge our flaws, so we can be with Hashem. He says, no. Hashem wants you when you're telling. The mikveh isn't post-tahara. The mikveh is the technique of tahara. Just be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be in Hashem's presence. Envelop yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll take care of your tshuva. I'll cleanse you. I'll purify you. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. So the process of tshuva is a twinning between a human being and a Ribbono Shel Olam. Not only that, but one of the purposes of tshuva. And of tshuva. We recite in a very famous Parak in Tehillim, Kuf Lamed, Ki Imcha Hashem Haslicha, forgiveness is with you, Laman Tivare, so that you should be feared. Chazal interpret that phrase, Laman Tivare, so that people will understand the power of tshuva. David HaMelech requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will be the model of tshuva. I will teach generations. Adam Rishon didn't believe tshuva was possible. Cain was insolent. Gadol Avoni Minsa. Yehuda had a two-word tshuva, Tzadka Mimani. Human beings couldn't wrap their minds around tshuva. It defies every basic human concept. David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to teach generations about tshuva. I will be the model. I will bear my soul in all its monstrosity. I will share my corruption so that people will study the reparative functions of tshuva. Laman tivare. Or as David HaMelech says, source number 27, L'chal avar chatosi, harabe nechasisi, Laman titztak v'devrecha. Rashi says, Laman titztak v'devrecha, in timcholi, if you absolve me, if you forgive me, you will now be able to punish Rishayim, and they will no longer have the excuse, well, I didn't believe in tshuva. Why don't you read the Hill? Why don't you take a lesson from David HaMelech? David HaMelech teaches the world, inserts tshuva as part of religious consciousness, the ability to perform tshuva. So the 50 days of tshuva are not just to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 50 days of tshuva is a joint operation between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need my tshuva just as much as I need your tshuva. You need to forgive me so that people will realize that human beings are frail, that they can recover. The next part of David HaMelech in that passage. So on the one end, we just finished Sukkos and the embrace with Ribbono Shel Olam, Ani v'ha Hoshiyana. Second of all, we just completed tshuva and we've been in the mikvah and now our fates are aligned. But there's a third reason that's more powerful than either of the previous two. That we enunciate Ani v'ha Hoshiyana during this week, and in particular, on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. The Chafetz Chaim would run to his inner chamber on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah and break down in tears. He'd say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand something. How come you're not redeeming us yet? We daven every year for Geula. So many Jews throughout thousands of centuries, thousands of years, have davened for Geula. He says, I have the text here, he says, I don't understand why you don't redeem us yet. He said, I can find it for you. It's getting a little bit late.
Here.
here. I can't find it. I apologize.
I can't understand why you don't read this. You must have an idea in mind because you want us to daven and that merit. But still, after all of our davening, we begin our davening, L'cha Hashem Atzdaka, the Lanu Boshes Hapanim, how little we deserve that which we ask for. And then we spend 50 days asking for everything in our minds and in our hearts. At a certain point, it becomes egotistical, inauthentic, forged. And if we're really honest, there's only one thing we daven for. It's our guru. That's why the tail end of 51 days of davening is a celebration and a yearning for our gula on Hashanah Rabbah and Hashem's gula. And you'll notice it tomorrow as our Hoshanos morph into descriptions of the end of days based on the Psukim in Zechariah. How do we conclude our Hoshanos? Take a look at it. Kol Mivaser, Mivaser V'Yomer. Based on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. How did Hoshanah Rabbah become the day of Gula? Because that's the most authentic davening. I'm not davening for myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm davening for my people. And I'm davening for their history. And I'm davening for the final redemption of Kol Asher Hashem Abiyapo, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. Every year, Rav Haigon would conduct a pilgrimage to Eretz Yisrael. Haigo lived in the 10th century, one of the last Geonim. His father was Reb Shriragon, wrote a very famous letter detailing the Masara. One of his Talmidim was someone named Rabbi Hananel ben Chushiel, the famous Rabbeinu Hananel. One of the great figures of his era, lived to be 99 years old, very, very famous Geon. His father lived to be 100 years old, Reb Shriragon. Reb Haigo was pilgrimage every year on Hoshanah Rabbah. And we have a report of that pilgrimage. And he didn't surround the Beis HaMikdash or Har Moriah, perhaps because he wasn't allowed to. But he would conduct hakapos around Har HaZitni. Source 29. Rav Hai Hayaola b'chol shana liYishalayim mi-Babel. He would travel weeks to get from Babel to Yishalayim. V'hai Hashem b'chag HaSittas. He spent Yishalayim, welcomed all of our visitors in the trail of the Haigon. He spent Sukkot in Yerushalayim. Ki ayu makifin is Har HaZeisim, Boshana Rabba, Zayin Pamim. They would circle Har HaZeisim seven times. Ve'omrim mizmorim, and they would recite certain piyutim. And they would walk with the Kohanim. And Rav Hai would laugh, five lines from the bottom. Rav Hai was misochek, he was laughing. Ulach Rasudah, Rahar Atzach, Baal Tshuva, Rav Hai. There's a very famous murderer who became a Baal Tshuva. He was called the Rotzeach Baal Tshuva. Nice name. And he asked Rav Hai, Rebbe, last page, Lama Olech Levad, why when you encircled Har HaZeitim did you separate yourself from the flock? Amalo Rav Hai, Meshani Olev B'chol Shana Mibabel, L'hakifas Har HaZeitim B'sukkos. I travel each year to Har HaZeitim B'sukkos, V'ani Mitaris Asri B'Hoshana Rabbah, and I go to the Mikvah Hoshana Rabbah, Elio Holechimi, and Elio accompanies me. Lakach nitzchakim me'asher lefaneinu me'asher lechweinu. Therefore, I have to create space for Eliyahu. This is Rav Haigon. Encircling not Har Moriah, but Har HaZeitim. Why do you encircle Har HaZeitim? Because of Zechariah Perek Yudalid describing the apocalyptic scene in the end of days. V'yasafdias kol ha'goyim bo Yerushalayim, source 30. Hashem will come out to battle. Line 4. The Yamdu Raglav Bayomahu El Har HaZeitim. The final battle will take place around Har HaZeitim. The mountain will be split in half. Line 5. Vinifka Har HaZeitim. Mechetzio Mizracha V'yama. Will split in half, east and west. Part of it will migrate north. Part of it will migrate south. Vaya Bayomahu. Seven lines from the bottom. Loya Arya Karos V'kifon. There won't be any light. Vayomachad Yibadal Hashem Layom V'lalayla. Water will emerge from Yerushalayim. That's how Hoshanah Rabbah becomes associated with this event in Har HaZeitim, celebration of water, supernatural water, emerging from Yerushalayim. Zechariah Yudala, Yecheskel Memzayin, Vay Hashem Lemalach HaKol Aretz, Vayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad, Veshmo Echad. That becomes Hoshanah, source number 31. Kol Mivaser, Mivaser V'Yomer, Dafak V'Hitzis V'Zarach, Hashem knocks on the door, and shines his light. Umash chatzi ahar mimizrach, and half the mountain migrates. Hekim milul namo, he fulfills his prophecy. Uvahu v'chal kedoshim imo, all of his sacred angels accompany him. Ulechal boi olam basko yishama biolam. So this day we pray for Geula. We supplicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Geula, because it's the most authentic form of tefillah. At a certain point, our tefillahs may or may not have succeeded, where Jimmy asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for redemption, and he encircles Hara Zekin, either actually or figuratively, by reciting Tom Vasem or Vaser V'Yomer, then our davening becomes completely transformed. We're not davening for personal needs, we're davening as HaFetz Chaim daven on Hashanah Rabbah, for Geulas Yisrael. So that's why we recite Ana Nibaha Washiana, Ani B'Sof HaGolah, V'Hu Asur Bazikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends not just because he desires our proximity, he descends because he suffers as we suffer, his presence in this world suffers. And when we're redeemed, Vayivasha. When we're redeemed, Yeshua Secha. When we're redeemed, V'Tzeiti Yitzchem. And we highlight it on Hashanah Rabbah, because it's the conclusion of the period of intimacy. It's the conclusion of the process of tshuva, and it is the tail end of our tefillah. We have nothing left to say. Man omar lefonacha yoshev maraon. Man esape lefonacha shochein shlakim. To repeat our same flawed requests, we change our voice. Kol mevaser mevaser v'yomer. Kol mevaser mevaser v'yomer. Forget what I deserve. Forget my failure. Just redeem us. Just redeem our people. Just come back to Har Hazeitim. Come back to Har Moriah. And let everything else slide. Once you redeem us, our chataim will be a figment of our imagination. Chag Sameach, everyone. Chag Sameach.